Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Dr. Cristina Yedo Gomez is a Filipina migrant settler living and working on the lands of the Darug and Guringai peoples. She's the Presentation Sisters Senior Lecturer at BBI, the Australian Institute of Theological Education, and a Research Fellow for the Australian Centre for Christianity and Culture. Her role at BBI is directed towards promoting women's spiritualities, feminist theologies, and eco-theologies. Cristina is mother to Julian and Sophia and wife to teacher, deacon and Navy chaplain Adrian.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife, is the satirical opening sentence of Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen's story of the turbulent relationship between Miss Bennet and Mr. Darcy, who must overcome their titular sins of pride and prejudice in order to fall in love. This is one of the most famous opening sentences in English literature, but let me suggest to you that the final line of that novel should be given equal weight, but you're going to have to wait for that. It is also a truth universally acknowledged in Christianity that the most difficult of things to explain is the Trinity. Students of theology spend a lot of time scratching their heads over concepts such as the homoousion, that is, God the Father and Son are identical in essence, or whether the Holy Spirit proceeds per filium through the Son, or filioque from the Father and the Son, and the concepts of hypostasis, personhood, versus ousia, being, language used to speak about the three in oneness of God. It is reasonable to question why such complex concepts and terminology are needed in the first place, and whether the early church fathers who developed these concepts just had way too much time on their hands. But some understanding of what the Trinity is and what the Trinity is not does have relevance for all people, for all time, and implications for how we live out our day-to-day lives. The concept of the three persons and one being of the Trinity has consequences not just about who God is, but also who we are called to be. Feminist theologian Catherine Maury Lacugna, in particular, has helped me to understand the Trinity's relevance for my daily life. Tragically, Lacugna died at only 44 years of age in 1997, but has left behind masterful works such as her book, God for Us, The Trinity and Christian Life. This particular book opened my eyes to understand that the very being of God is communion, a community of love in which each individual has their own identity and role, but also exists within the one unit, the loving community of God, the one God. If we are then made in the image of God, we are also made to image this loving communion. Thus, we are created to exist in loving and healthy relationships. In healthy relationships, such as a marriage or friendship, you have two unique persons, but their relationship draws them into unity as people who love and reconcile with each other. When we are not in such relationships, we are not living in the image of God. We become, rather, isolated, wounded persons. That woundedness can come not just from the lack of loving relationships, but living in unloving social systems and structures, and from unquestioned practices and beliefs passed on from generation to generation, which actually wound our dignity as God's creation and break relationships rather than allow us to be what we were created to be, God's loving self and being in loving communion with others. How, might you ask, did Lacugna argue for this image of the Trinity as a healthy and loving community? She argued that rather than understanding God's being as concentrated on God the Father, as was the more common focus in her time, God's being is actually relational, personal, and shared. Moreover, she argued against the emphasis on God's being as divine substance over God's being as three hypostasis or persons. Lacugna believed the Cappadocian fathers got it right when they understood the Trinity such that hypostasis or person is prior to and constitutive of ousia or being. Hypostasis before ousia, personhood before being. God's being is dependent upon God's being as three persons. Thus, it is God's divine nature to be relational, to be in communion. I have written and spoken elsewhere of my experience of being a survivor of child abuse. As an abuse survivor, for decades, I could not accept myself as lovable. Even though I learned in my Antioch youth group that God does not make junk, and in scripture that all of us are made equal and in the image of God, and in theology that I have the same intrinsic dignity as the next person, and even when I married a loving and patient partner and had children with him, deep in my skin, I felt unlovable. I remember my husband telling my counselor, "I don't get it. Why does she keep asking me if I love her? Doesn't matter how many times I tell her I love her and show her, she still doesn't seem to believe it." And when the counselor explained to him, this often happens to people who are abused as children, he got me for the first time. From there on, he did not question why I kept asking whether he loved me. Through his steadfast love, our children, and some beautiful individuals who accepted and affirmed me, warts and all, and some good counseling, it finally sunk into my skin that I was lovable, that I could live in profound personal communion with others. For me, when I hear God saves and heals, I see it concretely in the way God saved and healed me through the communions of love I was allowed to enter into, my husband, children, and loving friends and family. Despite the abuse in childhood, I was redeemed not simply by understanding what love is, but experiencing it as this constant, persistent, stable, and generous communion of love that was willing to work through differences and conflict and to communicate I was worth it. This is why the concept of the Trinity as a community of loving persons is the most fundamental understanding of God we need to have as Christians. In a world that sees abuse and violence, domination and lust for power as the norm, the relational being of the Trinitarian God is our saving balm. How can we image the reign of God here on earth? We can do this by imaging the Trinitarian love of God, where persons are valued in their uniqueness and no one dominates or abuses the other. It is fostering Trinitarian relationships of mutuality and respect, forgiveness and love that seeks to help the other flourish rather than diminish. In a world that knows too well division, violence, and abuse, living in communion with others truly is the way to salvation. Lukugna expresses this beautifully in a famous passage from the final chapter, Practical Trinity, from her book, God for Us. She says, "Living Trinitarian faith means living God's life, living from and for God, from and for others. Living Trinitarian faith means living as Jesus Christ lived, in persona Christi, preaching the gospel, relying totally on God, offering healing and reconciliation, rejecting laws, customs, conventions that place persons beneath rules, resisting temptation, praying constantly, eating with modern-day lepers and other outcasts, embracing the enemy and the sinner, dying for the sake of the gospel, if it is God's will. Living Trinitarian faith means living according to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, training the eyes of the heart on God's face and name proclaimed before us in the economy, responding to God in faith, hope, and love, eventually becoming unrestrictedly united with God. Living Trinitarian faith means living together in harmony and communion with every other creature in the common household of God, doing all things to the praise and glory of God." To end where we began, Jane Austen concludes Pride and Prejudice by saying of Elizabeth Bennet and Fitzwilliam Darcy that they were both ever sensible of the warmest gratitude towards the persons who, by bringing her into Derbyshire, had been the means of uniting them. In other words, thanks to the happy accident of Elizabeth's uncle and aunt, Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner, bringing Elizabeth to Derbyshire, Elizabeth and Fitzwilliam found a chance to be united. Having overcome both pride and prejudice through the loving support of family and friends, our protagonists, Miss Bennet and Mr. Darcy, were able to enter into unity, a communion of hearts and minds. What a great image for us as a Christian community to support one another in overcoming the things that separate us and to lead one another deeper and deeper into a communion that images God and makes God present in our world.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.